The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. We'll call this one November 7th. How about that? Post-election day. And how do you bring in an Obama re-election? Well, you do it with the worst day of the markets in a couple of months here. Worst drop we've had in the markets since, June of last year, of this year, I should say. And with it, we saw oil drop big. We saw, a lot of markets actually get clobbered across the board. Apple stock, folks, in bear market territory, down over 20%. If you notice, though, a lot of that selling that came in right around that European time zone, happened right in the morning when we heard some comments come out of, Germany and all the rest of it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what I do want to concentrate on and what we'll talk about again is the fact that we have got a situation right now where you have got what people are, I think, misinterpreting the post-election break. Now, this is more a realigning of portfolios. This is something to keep in mind. I think the European situation weighed on the election or on the market today more than the election did. Although the election probably had a bit of a catalyst. You're probably seeing people getting out of high-paying dividend stocks, for example. But the bottom line is the valuation message that I have been giving to you all over the course of the last few months is still intact. The depressed valuation, which will probably be with us now for the next 4 years, you could see that reversion to the means back up to, say, 16 on a multiple. But you know what? Again, I'm not going to be looking for that giant explosion in equities. On the other hand, I am going to be looking for more of the same out of gold. And what did gold do the last 4 years? Up 100%. That's what happens when you have a Fed chairman in cahoots with your president deciding to inflate the economy instead of growing it. And that's exactly what we have. But here to help shed some light on it is our good old friend Alan Rohrbach. In fact, we had Alan on today. He was a guest on the market update segment that we did at the CME. Alan, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, Jack, that was a lot of fun. And we got some visual chart stuff in front of people there, too. Thanks for having me on. It was great.
No, I think that, first of all, I like the idea of bringing guests on and sharing the information, especially good information, is for me one of the, I guess my callings, as I like to say, being a good steward with information. But let's get right into the nitty-gritty of it. We got an election which saw the results that a lot of us kind of deep in our hearts anticipated. You know what I mean? My gut was telling me that there was probably going to be an Obama re-election. I wasn't getting all psyched about a Romney victory. And now we've got the reality of it setting in. I guess I'm going to start off by asking you this. Was today's weakness in your mind post-election, or was it a direct consequence of what was set out in Europe and these horrific scenes we're seeing of these Greeks again throwing firebombs and Molotov cocktails at one another? Or I guess, is the situation, being, misinterpreted in different ways here? Give me your take on it.
Well, the answer to the or to begin with is yes. It was about both the re-election and what's going on in Europe, and you mentioned the what's going on with the economic activity in Europe, and of course the Germans were kind of the headline because everyone expects they were not going to be so weak, and they had a very much weaker than expected industrial production.
That was the story this morning, wasn't it, Alan? When I came in today, I know we were basically flat in the markets, and that's what really leads me to believe that it was really Europe that was the catalyst this morning, the driver down. Explain to everybody what was said or what was done that seemed to weigh on the market so heavily.
Yeah, a German industrial production number that was supposed to come in at roughly flat -0.4 came in at -1.8%.
That's a big miss for that market.
That's a big miss, and especially as it relates to Germany. Now, the other thing that was worse than expected, but everyone says, well, when you're talking about Spain, what does worse than expected actually mean? Because the expectations are so bad. But they were supposed to see a shrinkage of about 3.5% in their industrial production, came in at -7.0%. Now, the thing that caught everybody's ear that drove the market early, though, was the fact that in a bit of a presentation, a speech he made today, ECB President Draghi actually noted how much weaker the figure was and said, we might have to allow, And this is very important, Jack, because I know you're always big on, well, you get a figure here, a figure there. What does it really mean? And President Draghi said, we might have to allow that the general weakness in Europe is finally seeping into the German economy, and this is going to give us a bit of an even longer perspective on when we might bottom and start to really grow again.
Explain why that's important. I mean, Germany's been the bellwether, hasn't it? Even though that we've seen the European markets and the whole talk of the Greek exit and the pigs and all the rest of it. But Germany's always been very stellar. I remember I was just out in Germany. I saw more cranes, I think, than anything else, which led me to believe that the German economy was humming along. But these comments this morning really threw a damper on the market.
Well, and that's exactly right. I don't really have anything to add. Your question is a bit rhetorical in the sense that, yes, if Germany now is slipping as well, it informs a global view. And that's that's the broader context, the, shall we say, chain reaction kind of psychology whereby, well, wait a second, everyone's talking about maybe China's stabilizing, but China's relying on the export market in Europe not getting too much worse, whether or not it's going to get really better. And then that ties back into the idea that we've discussed many times, and I it's not an original thought. I mean, I had it myself, but it's not a unique thought, I should say. People like Mohammed El-Erian, early on after 2008, everyone said, well, yeah, the U.S. collapsed, but Europe's okay. China's okay. There is no de-linking across time. And now that there's some weakness out there, and the U.S. seems to be one of the few economies showing real growth, the backlash into what happened here yesterday with President Obama being reelected. Congratulations to him and his team for coming up with a great strategy to win the electoral side. However, there is also the factor of this means that his program, pretty much as is, regardless of his wonderfully flowery oratory last night about we can all move together.
It was a heck of a speech.
American.
I got
to
tell you,
I love listening to the guy.
I do hand it to him because he is a great speaker. I love those speeches he gives.
But you are going to get Obamacare in all of its implications. Now again, this isn't going.
Boeing announced a layoff today. I think that might have been a direct result of the election.
And
I think that we're going to see a lot more of that.
The big companies aren't the half of it because they aren't really the half of the overall economy. The half of the overall economy is the medium to small companies who, not on January 1st, 2014, but taking a proactive view, are going to be telling their employees by sometime, I would hope or think, not later than the middle of next year, that guess what? We'll give you somewhat of a stipend, but even giving you a stipend and paying the penalty to the government, it's cheaper for us. And also, what we have to do to stay in business is drop the group health insurance policy. And you start thinking about how much your average worker who works for a medium to small business is going to have to pay if they have to go get individual insurance for each family member instead of being in a group policy. I know the difference between what my wife pays, who's employed by somebody, and what I pay as a longtime independent consultant. I've had individual policies for a long time. Wait till that cost hits the pocketbook of the average American.
So what you're saying is that the reality of the election hasn't really set in, even for those that were supporters of Barack Obama.
Let's put it metaphorically. It's kind of like an ocean voyage back in the Renaissance or the 1700s. And you had the flagship. The fiscal cliff is merely the flagship. It's the representation of the failure to have a sensible program that's coming at us in January. But the entire fleet of the statist approach to things like environmental policy, where regardless of what they'd like to say, you now have the Obama administration shown clearly for the anti-carbon fuels, shutting down coal-generated electricity. And all that, it's all coming.
Well, we saw that. In fact, we saw the move in oil today, which was down significantly. In fact, at one point, it was down over $4. It settled down $4 you know, something for an $85 product is a huge move on a percentage basis.
Yes.
You know, we saw it with the rest of the distillants. Again, I think that's a direct result of the fact that you have got a president whose policies have shown a lack of favor for the fossil fuel industry, which is really ironic because he talks about oil independence all the time. And I guess, you know, it's really a question of, you know, how you view independence. Do you view it from the EPA's standpoint, the ecologic, or do you view it from an economist standpoint?
And you have heard many of the people we look to as being experts in these areas, Boone Pickens, Jack Welch, etc., all have said, why in the world aren't we just going just absolutely total full blast for natural gas? We're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, but even natural gas that's so much cleaner in its way, and again, drilling it has some impact on the environment, they don't want carbon fuels. They're carbon phobic.
That's what it is. It's the carbon footprint. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I think that we're going to find ourselves in a bit of a dilemma. We're going to be what I consider to be a living paradox here in the United States over the course of the next 4 years.
Well said.
You know, so but here let's stay on the election here in the last few minutes of this segment. Give me your take, number one, of what you think might happen out of Congress. Are we going to see more of the same? We've got the exact same representation. It looks like, you know, the Senate is in the same hands, the House is in the same hands. But here's the difference, and I guess I really want to get your take on it. I now have a president who's going to be working on his legacy, no longer be working on getting reelected. A president in a second term always seems to be working on his legacy. Now, I guess here's the question for you, Alan. Is that good or bad for the markets and investors?
It's whatever he decides he wants it to be.
Aha! Uh-huh. That's and really what I want to leave. I want to get that out of you. What do you think it is?
And on past form, it is to be the community organizer. It's a lot of what was discussed about empowering the welfare and government support society, because that's the Democratic
base.
Does
he want to be known as the president when he leaves in 4 years to have more people on food stamps than ever before?
He'd be thrilled.
Wow, do you really think that?
I really believe that. He'd say we're helping people. You know, it's a matter of frame of reference, Jack, and I don't damn the guy
see,
for it.
You
this
know
is
what?
The problem. Wait, Jack, you use a phrase about certain people.
You know what, for you to say that to me, I'm just amazed
I know,
because that is the logic.
Shocking.
That is the logic.
It's shocking.
You're absolutely right.
But here's your term that you have used so often regarding not just him, but the people on the left of his party when it comes to they're absolutely. I do not ascribe any kind of mean or purely political dimension to it. I think they really want to help people. But when it comes to how you get the economy going, how you get business, is any business tomorrow, based on what they've seen so far, unless there's some real compromise, going to actually say, well, now's the time to put some capital investment and hire some people? It's not going to happen because, Jack, they're members of the I Don't Have a Clue Club.
Yeah, and the charter members. You know, Alan, I got to tell you, who's been the busiest that I have talked to today? You know, it's funny. Usually the ancillary effect of an election, you know, you know brokers, you'll talk to people. Brokers were not busy today. You know, I didn't hear doctors busy today because I've got friends that are in medical. You know who's busy today? Lawyers. People that are setting up trusts, people that are trying to figure out how to shelter income. You have got more of that right now. And here is my problem. That is not the way an economy grows. When people are looking to shelter income and look for write-offs instead of putting productive investments to work to create jobs, we are on that slippery slope. These next 4 years, unfortunately, are going to be spinning of the wheels.
This is the UK after World War I.
Wow.
That's what it is.
Well,
explain that
for those that are not history buffs. How about that?
It's the decline of a culture that thought they were so rich they could afford to indulge social sensibility over economic sensibility. And by the way, I fully allow you to plagiarize that line.
Oh, you know what? I like that. That's a good comparison, only because if you remember at the time, the British pound was the envy of the world, if
right.
I remember correctly.
Right. And it came down from first 12, then 10, then 8 pounds to the dollar.
Yeah.
To the crises in the late 70s that led to Mrs. Thatcher getting elected and finally stabilized between as low as, I was over there when it traded $1.20. Boy, we were grabbing curios and souvenirs like crazy. We said, this is not going to come back. But what you mentioned, Jack, about people hiring lawyers, You know, people who are of who are moneyed.
They're the busiest people right now.
It's an extension of what corporations have been doing for 2 years to 3 years now. When they saw the Obama program come along, they've stopped hiring engineers and sales managers, and they're focusing on human resources to make sure they have all of their sexist gender policy right, and attorneys to handle regulation. And well, you're right. When corporations have to spend more money on legal and gender than they do, with due respect for gender, you've got a daughter, I've got daughters, that is important stuff. But when they have to spend more on that than they spend on engineers to develop better products and run their plant better, that speaks volumes.
Well said, Mr. Rohrbach. We're going to take a few minutes here, come back, and then talk about the individual markets that are affected with the re-election of President Obama. This is The Jack B. Show. I'm Jack Berugin. Don't go away. We've got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Again, sitting here with Alan Rohrbach, talking politics, talking markets. And in fact, somebody said to me today, "Are you upset with the election results?" And I said, "No." I said, "We elected a leader." I said, "You know what? We have the right to vote." I said, "You know what? I mean, for me, look, folks, and I got to tell you, you know, you see me with my GOP badge on when I go on TV. The bottom line is this: I'm very, very proud. All right, you know, to call the man our president. Okay, now, does that mean that I have to agree with everything he says? Of course not. I don't agree with everything that a Republican president does or says. But Alan, here's a question for you. Okay, and you know, because I want to segue into stock markets and I want to talk about bonds over the course of these next 4 years. I guess the question is this, and I was leading and hinting towards it in the last segment when I was asking whether Obama is going to be working on his legacy. Do you think that he will be reaching out to Wall Street by bringing in somebody like a Larry Fink? That seems to be, you know, the rumor that we're going to see like a Bob Rubin type come into the administration and give us what we need, and that is real economic leadership, so that you've got somebody in the president's cabinet who is an adult, for lack of a better term, speaking, you know, the mind of the streets, so that we don't look as if we are out there, as the predators that we have been labeled.
Well, that's a great question, Jack, because let's face it, especially with the election of Ms. Warren in Massachusetts, who is totally anti-markets and anti-financial industry, it's going to be very important for the president to set a tone that's a little bit different than, oh, let's beat up on the banks because they're bad guys because they created a problem.
I can live with an occasional member of Congress, but it's when the president of the United States actually makes a real effort. You know, Clinton did it when he brought in Bob Rubin. I think it was important.
Right. And I think what we have here is anyone who would be coming in. And you're right, Fink would be an excellent choice because, you know, he takes such a intermediate to longer term investment view and is ultimately a very constructive guy. And he would probably have some good ideas what to do about the short term trading end of the industry to restore faith in the markets from investors, something no one in the Obama administration is currently equipped to understand, much less do anything about it.
Nobody in the Obama administration has ever had a real job.
Well, much less in the markets and at a high level.
I should correct that. When Rahm Emanuel first came in, he worked at Arby's. That's how he lost his little finger. And then he went to Wasserstein Perella after he was in the Clinton administration and sat two seats away from me on the board. So I can tell you all of that. All right.
Exactly.
So he did have those jobs, all right, that he held for a while.
Right. But in terms of that, I would say whoever he might approach, especially after the experience of the Jobs Council, he puts together all of these people who have real knowledge of industry, who can really do who made suggestions. He brought them all in early on in his administration when he had the crisis, and he said thank you very much and never did anything with it. And then he had, you know, Jeff Immelt heading up his Jobs Council. And look, there are people in there who could probably tell him some things too, but it's something that you pointed out, Jack, that I'll get back to the specific answer to your question in a moment, but something you pointed out that from the day he entered office in 2009, he was already thinking about the fact someone who as social and far left as he was going to need to work on getting elected and make sure he was promoting his base and couldn't venture into the kind of constructive job creation policies that might have included taking union power down, a bit of a notch rather than promoting the heck out of it.
Hey, you know what? They, I was always told as a kid only Nixon could go to China. So I guess the real question is Obama the only one that could really do something about the unions? But unfortunately, he's not playing the role of a leader. See,
that's the point.
I guess until Sandy came along where, and I said it on Kudlow's show, I said that was the one thing I guess that we could say that happened that was encouraging is that there was a glimpse of leadership for the first time.
And bipartisanship.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
why Christie, a lot of the Republicans.
Which I got a lot of respect for Christie.
I do too.
You know what? He got chastised by the Republicans, but he said the
wrongly
right thing.
He said the right thing.
Yeah, he said the right thing.
I'm a governor of a state.
That isn't.
And I'm
that
looking,
isn't,
to,
in,
I'm looking to make sure
yep.
my president is making the full availability of the federal government to help us. But
He will be president one day. I got to tell you. I think so.
The question is, what kind of commitment, what kind of real mandate, what kind of even agreement and promise to meet regularly and follow through on the advice does any new financial services supremo get from Mr. Obama? Because if I'm Larry Fink, I say, we're going to meet every 2 weeks. You and your minions are going to sit down and understand how financial business really works. And when I make some suggestions, I want to know they're at least, partially followed. We work toward getting the finance side of the equation back up, or I will resign.
Well, I think that you get a Treasury Secretary in there and hopefully have him put in place that's very Wall Street friendly to bridge that gap, because right now the class warfare that's taken place must end. And quite frankly, he doesn't need it anymore. It's the last election that he'll ever run in.
And that's right. So he can afford to break a few promises to his base, and that might be the opening of some better compromise. But I'm still skeptical.
You got Speaker Boehner, as we're talking right now, talking about accepting more revenues if it's combined with tax reform.
There
you
are.
You know
ESP is working here, Jack.
As we're speaking, and because of that, you'll probably see the market. Look, I'll tell you right now, if you saw Boehner come out and the president together and say, you know what, we're going to lock ourselves in a room and make sure that we don't go over the fiscal cliff and we're going to make sure this is all resolved. I think that the market would go up dramatically within another day or two if that were the case.
Well, it would at least probably recover up nearer to the recent highs than it's been recently, which is a December S&P future, more so up toward the 1460-65 area. Again, I could certainly see it wanting to say it at least has some confidence that the whole sell-off was a bit overblown on near-term factors. I still believe they're creating problems for the intermediate term with the regulation, with the health reform, et cetera.
Well, here, let's stick with the market. Are we still locked in a range here, Alan, according to your work? I mean, you know, 1480, 85 on the downside. I mean, it seems to be the support. 1380, 85.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we are, in fact, funny enough, because a lot of people would say, well, we left those tops up around 1460 over the mid-September when we topped out initially right across into mid-October, and then we fell below the previous lows in about the 1420 to 25 area. This is December S&P 500 futures, folks. Now, recently, whenever they've gotten back up to 1425.30, they've had problems at that level. And I would say if they come out together, it'll at least be grounds for it to ratchet back up in that higher range and test the higher bound of it again. Whether it's ready to escape for a test of 1500, I think there you're saying, well, just how good does the news get? How much Bonhomie breaks out in Washington? But that's a fair question, Jack.
Well, let me ask you this. If there's any good news, I guess, you know, the street is looking and has accepted the worst with this administration. I hate to say it that way, but we've already seen overregulation. We've seen tax ambiguity. We've seen protectionism. You know, we've seen it all. So I guess
taxulationism,
well,
Jack, that's it.
I guess how have we, you know, has this market become, and I'm going to say this in a very, very unique way, the Teflon market, where, you know what, you can throw as much bad news as you want at it, and we've gotten to that suppressed valuation, so it's just bouncing off.
That's another fair question, and what we've learned is where the market, what can create a chink in the market's armor. And what we have seen after all of the quarters recently of better earnings, we've finally seen that when you combine Europe and China and mediocre U.S., the one thing the market can't tolerate is lower top-line corporate revenues. That's what we learned on the last cycle. It finally hit. There was lower top-line corporate revenues previous, but they had enough fat in the company to cut costs and still look good. Now we hit the point where the lower revenues actually created poor earnings for big companies. You know, we talked about DuPont and people like that. And when the majors are having problems producing constructive earnings figures, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Nah, that makes sense. All right, let's take a few minutes here. We're talking with Alan Rohrbach. We're talking election coverage. We're going to get into bonds. We're going to get into commodities when we come back. I want to talk about raw materials only because they are the ones that lead the way, folks. I think that you need to know that. This is the Jack B Show. We'll be right back.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sitting here with Alan Rohrbach, talking markets, talking just about everything. In fact, what a great day to talk markets and politics. Post-election, again, our president was reelected last night. Whether you like it or not, folks, he is our president. I put that our, O-U-R, in capital letters. In fact, I sent a message to a good friend of mine who's a very, very staunch liberal who sent me a little message saying, Jack, I hope, you can accept this. And I was very gracious. And I said, listen, like it or not, he is our president. So now that he is our president, Alan, okay, what does it mean? You told us what it means for stocks. And you basically, to sum it up, I think you were telling us that we're basically in a bit of a range here. So let's go out to some other markets. Give me some of these other commodity markets. Go to bonds. Go to some of these other things that you're watching and run with it, please.
Well, Jack, certainly. Two things first, just briefly. One, glad you straightened that out, because I thought when you said he's our president, you were hoping he was only going to be around another 60 minutes and decide to resign. And secondly, you're a brave man. You're giving Alan Rohrbach an open mic to talk about markets. But yes, indeed, we are still in a range. Now, this sounds odd to some people, because as we pointed out, there was a phase from mid-September to mid-October. The market was roughly 1425 to 1465. And now it's below that. But if you look back a bit historically, back to what the market was doing as you go back into March into April, when it topped out at the new high it made for this rally earlier this year, there is a big zone around 1,400, and that has what we call a tolerance, some trading below that when it churned its way up in there to 1,387. And unless it's back below there, and that means on a daily close, it's not back in the whole lower range it traded in on that big washout between April and June that might leave it below 1387. The December S&P future might head back down to something like 1350 to even as low as 1320, testing lower support. So right now, yes, we are in a range. Low end tolerance, 1387. High end up in the 1460-65 area, and not surprisingly, there's an interim level right around 1430. You've seen how the market's kind of had problems there in the last couple of days. But the bonds are very interesting because, of course, as much as everybody will tell you, the bonds are not a good value here based on a negative real yield.
But now that we know that the Fed chairman is going to be the same for the next few years, I guess the question is, for at least the next couple of years, does that mean that we don't fight the Fed?
Well, you don't fight the Fed in terms of you have QE operating out there. That's a very good point. But secondly, you also don't fight the weakness of the equities. As they weaken, regardless of the fact that somewhere, whatever it may be, a year, 18 months, 3 years down the road, we know if they keep this deficit spending going, there's going to be inflation kicking in at some point that we ultimately end up with bonds that, for now, are well supported on any pullbacks, because if the equities are going lower, You just get haven flows, as they're known, people who go to the bonds for capital preservation, even though they know they're not a good deal in here.
Do you see any cracks developing in the bond market yet?
Actually, they didn't even develop during the rally up into September. That was the crazy part, is that that whole rally
See, that tells me that the Fed is in there and they're going to hold that market up.
Well, but even if you look at the weaker sisters in Europe, where the rally then said, oh, things are all good, you look at the German Bund. This is the German 10-year equivalent of our 10-year note, and you go back to mid-September, and it was back down around 140 to 139 and a half. Now, for perspective, just very quickly, it was up around 147 or so going back to the peak it left all the way back in April of this year, April into early May, and it had previously been about 135 or so. So going back to around 140 was important, and it was an important technical area. And they just never cracked it on multiple tests.
Well, you know what? Until that starts to show weakness, I don't even want to talk about getting short. I just don't like being exposed to that bond market. Let's go to a metal. Let's talk copper. It's one of my favorite markets.
Absolutely.
I know that you watch it. What are you looking at there?
Well, that's the other interesting part, is the QE influence, much like gold, because you look at how gold responded to QE, and everyone said, oh, it's inflationary and or it might be economically supportive. They were hopeful. We've seen since that those corporate earnings were not helped by QE. But nonetheless, copper ran up from fairly depressed levels down around some longer-term support in the 330, 335 area, and pulled a jailbreak, escaped above the 350 area once again. And once it did, it ran up above another key area around 365 on the QE. I mean, this is right in the mid-September, after the Fed meeting and the equity bullishness, and then across time, it kept holding 365 for weeks, much like the equities held up for weeks above that 1420 to 25, and lo and behold, as equities come down in mid-October on poor earnings, the next thing you know, copper's back below 365 and is already back down today. New low by a modest amount for the dip at 345. What does it mean? It means the copper is A, economically sensitive, but the other thing it means is something we said for a while, and Jack, even you as someone who said don't fight the Fed and the QE psychology would drive the market higher. You were very right on that at various phases since the first part of this year. Well, you were even, as I remember, back into the later part of September and early October, you were saying, there's something wrong with this market.
Yeah.
If the QE was working, the equity should be doing better.
Yep.
Metals should
That's
be
exactly
doing better.
Right.
And you can see how...
So there was a disconnect that was taking place, and it was a message that was being sent. The question was, what was the message?
The message is, and this is what you're seeing in Europe, and it's part of the problem with the entire Obama regime political agenda. If you have bad policy, tax, regulation, protectionism, taxulationism, then no amount of liquidity is going to get your companies to make capital investment and hire people. And that's the message. To me, it's very clear. Other people think it's a bit more muddled. But you know what I call Mr. Obama? And this goes back to when we started these discussions, as things were not looking good in the economy. As far back as mid-2010, you could see a lot of this. Things were not developing the way they should have on the rebound, on the recovery, even though they have come along pretty nicely. And we had that conversation about Laffer's principles and how this particular government had abandoned them. A lot of people would say stuff like Obama's the anti-something else, which is very dramatic. I know one thing. He's the anti-Laffer.
That's true. I mean, look, Laffer was the ultimate supply sider.
That's right.
So the question is whether the bottom line is this. And I think for those that are out there that are on the sidelines for the reasons that you hear on TV, the fiscal cliff and all the rest of it, look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a period, as we have to take a look at, as a period of accumulation. All right. Everything that we are looking at the Obama administration do eventually will turn out to be something where it's going to be bad for the dollar. It's going to be inflationary. The seeds are planted. And Alan, I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely. 100%. And the point is that the way all this works out at the end of the day, much like the Carter administration, folks, in the longer run, you still want to be in equities. But as Jack always tells you, A, when the market runs up, buy some protection.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
cheap compared to what you're going to lose if you just sit there fully exposed.
Well, they gave it to us a couple of weeks ago. They were trading under 15
right.
on the volatility index.
Exactly.
And I even told people, you know, I said, you know what? They're giving it to you. All right, Alan, let's take a couple of minutes here. What we'll do is come back. We'll wrap it up here, not only for the day, but wrap it up maybe for what you expect on your calendar for the week. Alan's always got that thing that no one else looks for. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for Wednesday, November 7th, post-election day. And, of course, we brought the market in 369 points lower at its worst today in the Dow before it came back. So a nice bounce of about 100 points or so right after Europe closed, which leads me to believe that a lot of that selling was driven by Europe. I think that we could see as soon as the market stopped and closed in Europe, the markets turned around here. You see people getting out of those high dividend paying stocks here. Well, you know where they're going to go with those tax hikes. I mean, that's the first thing. And the real question is, will having cash be the right trade for the end of the year? You know, that's really, I guess, the battle between underinvested fund managers who are looking at returns, who are praying that the market continues to go down like this because they are trying to maintain their jobs, those that are taking their profits because they're sitting on profits, and those that think that they are not going to be sucked into what they consider to be a bull trap with a reelection of Obama. But Alan, hey, give me your thoughts here as we wrap it up here. What are you looking at these next few days and maybe the next week or so? And more importantly, I mean, is there any one thing in particular? I think one thing that I'm going to be looking forward to is maybe the first time that the Fed chairman speaks, which is November 20th. I'm pretty sure that's the case. All of you out there, go out there and do a little check and do your own homework. I just got that off of my off of TV a little while ago. But I'd be looking for that to be that initial, I guess, hint. After the election, as to what we might be seeing with QE Infinity, as you like to call it,
Buzz Lightyear Bernanke.
Bernanke. but what are you looking at for the rest of the week before we go on?
That's a good point, Jack. And as they say, you know, a week is a long time in politics. We all learned that lesson again on this one, given Romney's momentum and then Sandius Interruptus.
It's amazing. How could a storm actually sway an election? I think in hindsight, we're going to find that that's exactly what did it.
I think it at least made it a little less probable that Romney might pull it off. But the rest of this week, you know, as I said in the summary perspective I put out for clients along with our calendar, and actually folks who want to take a look at that before I commercialize the Roar blog can just go in search engine ROHR-blog, and that'll come up fairly high because we post very actively. And quite frankly, tomorrow, nobody's going to care about the fact the UK and Eurozone central banks are not going to move rates, but they're going to be very interested after his comments today in the ECB press conference. So that's the first thing we run into of real merit. That's at 7:30 Central Standard Time tomorrow. Now,
before we
time.
Go there, we do have a vote tonight at midnight, if I remember correctly,
Greece,
which is about 5 o'clock our time here in the States, which is a very, very big vote from what I understand, whether they're going to accept this $18 billion.
Right.
And will we, I guess, will we react off of that, you think, tomorrow morning when we walk in?
I think if they pass it, the received wisdom is that's a good thing. But the truth is, all of this austerity is part of what's crushing their economy over there. They're never going to get out of the fiscal hole with pure cuts.
Can't grow if you're just cutting. I mean, you need to have pro-growth
measures.
You
need to have employment market reforms, and that's the tougher picture there with the unions and all. Not just there, IMF just warned France. They said if you don't put through your labor market reforms, you're on the road. You're on the same road as Greece. This is France. This isn't even Spain. This isn't Italy. This is the other, you know, high-quality member of the Eurozone. But going beyond that, Friday's a very interesting day this week, and there's a couple items I'll mention just offhand next week that relate to what you said about the Fed chairman. But Friday, we have all of the typical early-month Chinese data, CPI, retail sales, industrial production, and that's followed also on Friday by French and Italian industrial production. After the German number, that's going to be looked at a little more closely. So a lot of the influence, the economic influence, might be in the market before we come in because we've got Michigan sentiment and wholesale inventories, but nothing that big.
But I guess a lot of it is really important tomorrow because in the next couple of days because we're talking about a market that ended up with its largest drop of the year today. All right, let's face it. I mean, you know, the market ended up down 312 points in the Dow. We're down $4 in oil. The S&P ended up down almost 34 points. I guess the one point I will make is that if you look at the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ on a percentage basis, they were all down almost exactly the same.
Right.
So that leads me to believe that this is more a model, a computer-driven model, which is doing it across the board, percentage-based, as opposed to one leading the other. Interesting. As somebody who used to do those orders, Alan, right. I do want to point that out.
Well, that's interesting, but what's also interesting is that the futures finished right back down toward, you know, they bounced very nicely back up toward 1,400 on the December S&P 500 future.
But then closed on their lows, didn't
right.
they?
Well, they actually closed 1,390 with a low of 1,384.30. That leaves them right within striking distance at 1387. The market is on the cusp, still presuming the worst unless it continues to hear more constructive talk out of Washington. And we'll see about that. But next week, even before you get the chairman of the Fed 2 weeks from now, kind of a quiet early week. But as we get into Wednesday, we're going to get U.S. retail sales and 1-2 punch that day. Into the afternoon, we got the FOMC minutes. That could be kind of interesting. But also on Thursday, very importantly, we've got some additional overseas news coming in, which is you're going to get the first look at German third quarter GDP on Thursday. And that also, once again...
And that, of course, segues brilliantly into what was being said earlier today.
Exactly. The industrial production was so weak. Do we get confirmation of that from the GDP? Or do we get something that says, well, the GDP was not so bad as to reflect that, you know, the industrial production number might be revised upward later? So this is what we've got, Jack. A lot of cross currents. They're mostly on the negative side. As you always say, you know, it would seem that would continue to weigh on the market. But let's watch that 1387 December S&P, because you shouldn't trade, as I'm quoting the great Berusian here, don't try to trade the market you want.
Trade the market you have.
There you go.
And that's the most important thing. Alan Rohrbach, folks. Alan, always a pleasure to have you on. Again, it was really...
Mine as well, Jim.
It was also great having you on today on Market Update on the CME Group site and on the
that.
Open Markets. And let's make sure we bring you back out. For the rest of you, again, always the fastest hour of my day. Don't forget to pay very, very close attention to the after effects and the aftermath of what happened today. Remember, on a day like today where you saw the market break as hard as it did, the largest break of the year, what's important is the follow-through and to see if there's any real follow-through tomorrow or whether this was just a one-day aberration, one-day type of sell-off. That'll give us an idea over the course of the next few weeks whether that battle between the fund managers chasing returns and those that are convinced that the next 4 years are going to be very, very anemic takes place. And we're going to see that battle right before our very eyes. This is Jack Berugin again. Have yourselves a marvelous night. And you know what? You got to say to yourself, it's wonderful to be an American regardless of who the president is. Have yourselves a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.